Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Making It Personal is provided by Serra Vocations Ministry. Learn more at joinserra.org.
Making It Personal with Bishop William Joneson on Iowa Catholic Radio and iowacatholicradio.com.
Welcome to Making It Personal with Bishop Joneson. I'm Kelly Mesher-Collins with the Diocese of Des Moines. On today's show, we're visiting with Bishop Walker Nicholas of the Diocese of Sioux City. We'll visit with him about the faithful Northwest Iowa, the planning processes and parish mergers, and much more. Before we get today's interview, let's find out what's on the Bishop's mind.
Well, Kelly, good morning.
Good morning.
As we head into a big weekend and our country and everything else, it's still going to be the 14th Sunday of Ordinary Time on Sunday, and not the Mass for July 4th, just to be clear for everyone as they come together. But have you stocked up on your fireworks and everything else? Is the trunk full? You know?
No, not a fireworks.
Yeah, can I bum a few off of you here? So in that way. But it's a week when our emotions have run the whole spectrum. I think a week ago, the ordination of the five men at Our Lady's Immaculate Heart, a splendid liturgy. I think everyone was moved who was present, and I just think the genius of the Roman Rite and those movements as well for me. So, of course, a lighthearted moment when the smoke alarm went off at the beginning. I think if our thoroughfare had just been a little bit further into the church, we might have avoided that. So that created a little bit of excitement on its own terms, but no harm, no foul on that. And then at the end, you know, the tornado sirens went off after communion. So I thought either, you know, we're going to hear that freight train barreling down on us, that sound that people talk about, or Matt Campbell and the Cyclones were going to come running into the church at that moment with the storm warning and things like that. But so again, that's a kind of going to the mountaintop in that way, but then much sadder news this week, and as we lost one of our beloved priests, Father Dan Gaylor, much loved by his people at St. Joseph in Erling, St. Peter in Defiance, St. Michael in Harlem. He was also the canonical administrator for Shelby County Catholic School, and so parish priest at one point here at St. Anthony in Des Moines, but a man whose life path was very interesting. He first felt the calling as a single man to the permanent diaconate, and so he just celebrated his 10-year anniversary with his class of the permanent diaconate earlier in the spring. They had a mass at St. Pius Church where he preached, and that was the first opportunity. Oh. You know, I just thought, what a beautifully spiritual, humble, simple man, and I think a tireless worker. And so I know the people are grieving profoundly. I just want to go with them this weekend to grieve with them. I have no, you know, special words for them, but I will take masses at each of the parishes as we lift him up to the Lord. Kind of surprisingly, Tuesday, we were meeting. Father Dan Kirby hosts the young priests, those ordained 5 years or less, at St. John Norwalk. And so Father Dan was there because he was only ordained to the priesthood in 2016. And so Father Dan Kirby bemusedly said to Father Dan Gaylor, well, you're graduating today. This is your last young priest session that you have to be at. And so three of our newly ordained were also there. But then we received the tragic news that he did not appear at daily mass on Wednesday morning. The parishioners found him in his residence there in Erling. So the funeral mass will be on Thursday, July 15th. At St. Joseph Erling. So there's a little time there. Our condolences go to his siblings, his brother in Tennessee, his sister in Arizona, and to all the people of God in that parish. Again, a tireless worker who served in many different capacities, and we miss him very much. Our prayers are also with the people in Surfside, Florida. We know the collapse of the condominium and now the structural weaknesses there. So those who've been keeping vigil with their loved ones, keeping hope alive, but ultimately our hope is in the name of the Lord, and whether we live or die, we are the Lord's, and so what we might be about in that way. The Pope's intention in the month of July, in a very conflicted world, is for social friendship, you know, maybe not understood as popular culture would undertake, but we pray that in social, economic, and political situations of conflict, we may be courageous and passionate architects of dialogue and friendship. Passionate architects of dialogue and friendship. And so we think about regions of the world such as Nigeria, where Christians are persecuted there, and the witness priests in our own diocese, Father Sylvester Oko in Neola, and others who will be joining us from Nigeria. So ready to talk to Bishop Nicholas.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Making It Personal with Bishop Joneson on Iowa Catholic Radio and the Spirit Catholic Radio Network.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Leonetti in the Morning provided by Bell Construction.
Bell Construction is a roofing company. They specialize in residential re-roofs, light commercial jobs, and have the experience to meet all of your roofing needs with personal service. With Bell Construction, the owner will come to your home or place of business in person to inspect and ensure the quality of work that you deserve. They pride themselves in working with you on a personal basis and making sure you are satisfied. Bell Construction, 515-963-4494. Bell Construction.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Catholic Women Now provided in part by Permar Security, providing security solutions for homes and businesses since 1953. Permar Security is a Catholic-owned family business supplying security systems, access control systems, video surveillance, fire alarm systems, and video doorbells. All alarm systems are monitored out of their monitoring center located in the state of Iowa. Permar Security, 515-244-5660, permarsecurity.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Making It Personal with Bishop Johnson. On today's show, we're visiting with Bishop Walker Nicholas, Bishop of the Diocese of Sioux City.
Good morning, Bishop Nicholas. Glad to have you join
us. Good morning, Bishop Johnson.
Yes, you're a busy man, and so for you to carve out some time for us is a great grace for us as well. And one of the graces of being a bishop is to come to know you a little better. You were one of the prelates who ordained me, along with Archbishop Jacobs and Bishop Zinkala. So that great privilege that it takes three to make a bishop, you know, to form in that way.
Exactly. Well, thank you for the honor of doing that. You know, all of us as bishops know what a great, wonderful blessing it is to ordain priests. But for me to be able to be involved in your ordination as a bishop was something I'll never forget. And I just am very grateful for your asking me to kind of be a part of the good work that happened there.
Yeah, and then another moment for me that was very touching is you preached with our Region 9 bishops at the Ad Limina visit, where we were actually at the tomb of Peter, before the tomb at the St. Peter's Basilica down there in the crypt, and your homily there about, you know, do you love me, do you love me, do you love me, from John 21. And so I think you're opening up the mystery to that and what we're called to as bishops. But you live it, you live it. So, but you didn't come out of a vacuum. You weren't just a kind of a cookie-cutter guy growing up in Colorado and the son of a butcher. Could you just talk a little bit, the show's called Making It Personal with Bishop Johnson. So just a little bit about you and how you came to be where you are now.
Sure. Yeah, sure. Well, I grew up in Denver, Colorado. I was the oldest. I am the oldest of 10 children. Mom and dad were local. They met in high school, went to Catholic high schools, and married and had 10 kids. Unable to feed 10 kids. My dad had to do something, I think, in the food business. So luckily for him, when he was a young man, he was asked to partner in a meat shop, and it was very successful. Obviously, we got to eat growing up a lot of the meats that he couldn't sell. We had steak all the time. So it was a great experience. All of us took our turns working in the butcher shop, scraping the block and waiting on customers. I usually cleaned up. In those days, they had sawdust, you know, on the floor in a meat market.
Remember those days? Yeah.
It was great growing up in a family of 10. You know, we have there's five boys and five girls, so they were evenly split. There's 21 years difference between me and my youngest brother, but that makes for an interesting
family. So you didn't play
Bible,
basketball against each other, the boys versus the girls or anything, 5-on-5?
No, we did, you know, we were too spread out to do that. So, but it was a beautiful experience growing up in Denver. When I was in a senior in high school at Bishop Matchpuff High School, the first bishop of Colorado, I had to decide, what am I going to do now? So at first I thought about, you know, maybe being a forester. I love the mountains of Colorado, being close to them. Then I learned you had to learn too much biology and mathematics and all those things.
Hey now, that's good stuff.
All that way. Many people were encouraging me to think about going to the seminary. So I finally said yes. We have a seminary in Denver at the time that was called St. Thomas, run by the Vincentian priests. They had a four-year college and a four-year theology. And so I went to college there at St. Thomas Seminary in Denver. And then the Archbishop asked me to go to Rome to finish up my theological training. Came back after 4 years. Great experience there, except for the exams that I flunked when I had to speak Italian. That's kind of strange.
I hope you didn't go hungry in the restaurants there.
then spent 33 years in Denver as a priest in parish ministry and in the chancery. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, what an adventure.
So you were putting fires out in the chancery for the archdiocese.
Well, you know, it was tough. I hated to leave. I had been pastor at two parishes, and I loved being a pastor parish with a school. So when I was asked by the archbishop to come to the chancery, it was to leave all of that and become what they called the vicar for clergy. And that was right in 1988 when all of the sexual misconduct allegations were beginning to come in. And the church really had to respond in a huge way to victims coming forward. So I spent a lot of time with victims and with alleged victims and alleged perpetrators, with lawyers and psychologists, trying to figure out what's the best response for the church. So that was a tough time. Eventually named vicar general and helped. Both Cardinal Stafford, who was the mm-hmm. first bishop when I was in the chancery, and then Archbishop Chaput. And finally, in 2000...
And there was that little thing called World Youth Day in 1993, mm-hmm. too, in Denver.
World Day was there, yes. Luckily, I didn't have to get too involved in that. It took a lot of our time and attention. But I remember Cherry Creek State Park. It was just packed with people. It was very hot. I remember sitting in the dirt in my alb, watching the mat. So, with a lot of other young people. What a great thing for Denver and for our country.
My memory is a young priest was carrying the Blessed Sacrament to give communion to people, and they sent me way, way out. I must have walked almost three quarters of a mile. And by the time I got out there, everyone had already received. So, what am I going to do with this full support?
Exactly. Exactly. It was an amazing event and a big thing.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of vocations came out of that, too. I think there's some priests that really...
In Denver, and then many young people, even some of my priests here in Sioux City, they went to that event, and that sparked them a lot to think about being a priest. So it had great, great impact on mm-hmm. our country and all over the world, actually.
Mm-hmm. And then the call comes to come to Northwest Iowa, to Sioux City, which you may or may have not have known very much about. So
I was so happy to be back in a parish in 2001. The archbishop said, "You can go back and be a pastor now. You served 13 years here, so go back to a parish." And I was very grateful for that. Then 3 years later, I got a call, ironically, on Halloween from the... it was a scary call. Yeah, from the...
Is this a prank?
Yeah, it's a prank. He said, "You've been... appointed by Pope Benedict as the new bishop of Sioux City, Iowa." Well, that was quite the thing. I didn't know where Iowa was. I didn't know where Sioux City was.
No.
So I got out a map and I looked at the boundaries of the diocese and, you know, put a magic marker and a highlighter around it.
And realized it was the greatest place on earth.
Kelly's a native of the diocese.
I love Iowa. You know, it's very hard to leave Denver and my family and everything, but what an adventure Iowa has been. And Northwest Iowa has been very, very good to me. You know, at the beginning, I had trouble. I would call it Ohio or Idaho. You get kind of confused.
You're not making that up. You're serious.
No, that's true. Yeah. So,
Your Excellency.
But I have to remind myself, Iowa. And Iowa, you know. And of course.
Not a way to endear yourself.
Of course,
your flock.
I have to be for the Cyclones and the Hawks, so I have to share both. I can't pick one team over another. So, so I bring my Denver Broncos to Iowa, and I've had some converts to the Broncos. So.
Marvelous. Could you describe, you know, the diocese as a local church? You know, Cardinal Ouellette describes a diocese as a sacramental unity in itself as a church. What are the features about the diocese that you've seen flourish, or things that, you know, you tried to describe? And, you know, last year you did kind of give an account of the diocese to the Holy Father in the Ad Limina visit. But what are some things that kind of, as you talk, not just to your siblings, but others, what about the diocese stands out?
Well, you know, Bishop, one of the things that the Diocese of Sioux City has been known for a long time is the love for Catholic schools. And my predecessors, Bishop Mueller especially, would make sure that all of the priests were sent away for education on Catholic education and how to get, they got degrees in education, and he wanted to make sure that priests were intimately involved with Catholic schools and education. So he had everybody studying to become a teacher, a principal, an administrator, a superintendent in one of the Catholic schools. We have 16 different sites for Catholic education here in our diocese. And that's a lot when you consider, you know, larger dioceses have fewer than that. But our Catholic schools and the love of the Catholic schools in our diocese is outstanding. And we're trying to do everything we can to sustain that. As you know, and yourself, it's harder and harder to support Catholic schools. We want to be able to keep tuition down. We want to be able to pay our faculties and teachers a decent salary. And it's hard juggling everything. The hardest thing, of course, is always making sure that the Catholic identity is very present in our Catholic schools. So that's one thing that stands out as you think about Sioux City. The devotion to Catholic schools, and I just want to thank all of the people who make that possible here and around the diocese.
And
I also have learned a lot about the faith of the people in Iowa. You know, it's very fertile. I know more about corn and soybean now since I came to Iowa than I ever thought possible. But there's something about the land and, you know, farmers and the people who care so much about family that is also a great blessing here. We're blessed, at least I am, coming from Denver, a big, huge city, to have small rural towns, quiet, no traffic jams, lots of chance to thank God for the beautiful world that he's given us. So, you know, that's another plus for Iowa. It's just a great place to live.
Yeah, I think that fabric and the values and things, and amidst the massive expanses of fields and things too, and obviously the Dutch Reformed Church has a presence in Northwest Iowa as well. Do you sense any ecumenical collaboration, or is that as a church you're occupied with your own people?
Well, yeah, we're always called to be missionaries, you know, and I've told many a time at a confirmation or at a adult gathering, you know, don't be afraid to be evangelizers, even to the Dutch Reformed in Northwest Iowa. So they know that, and those people that believe deeply in the Dutch Reformed Church and the good people up there, we're all trying to do the same thing, and that is get in a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we shouldn't be afraid to evangelize, to mission, to reach out, to be good examples. We don't have too much opportunity to do that because it takes two sides to do that, but we're always open to that. And, you know, there's, again, some great people there.
Amen. Amen. But as you, you know, are now moving into, you know, perhaps the latter phase of your time as Chief Shepherd, you've undertaken a planning process. This has been a long work in progress and going on that involves mergers of parishes. And can you just talk to that? That's something that's garnered some attention and things, and people obviously very devoted to their local church. But can you just talk about why that you believe the Spirit is calling as a flock to embrace this?
Sure. You know, this has been a difficult thing to realize the reality of where we are in Iowa, even with all its blessings. We look at the demographics and we see less and less population, no more family farms, fewer children, fewer men able to enter the seminary, and people moving away, at least in this part of Iowa. And so we have to look at that. In about 2015, my priest personnel board came to me and said, Bishop, we've hit a wall. We don't know if we have enough priests to serve in all of the parishes, and we need to do something to start planning for the future. Now, my predecessors, the other bishops that have been here, have been planning since 2000 and even before that, because we knew we had to keep looking at the viability of parishes and the sustainability of both human and pastoral resources. And so we began planning a long time ago. But in 2015, it kind of kicked into a high gear because we were realizing that we just couldn't serve and assign priests to all of the parishes that needed them. So we really don't want to close any parishes. We want to kind of use the canonical advice and merge parishes to ease the burden, especially on our priests. You know, the travel that has to happen when some of our priests, as probably some of yours, have two or three parishes that they're in charge of, a lot of driving, a lot of meetings, a lot of, time wasted actually driving and not able to build up a parish community. So what can we do about it? And so we started kind of bringing together parishes that were close, that had previous relations with one another. We looked at baptismal records, sacramental records, marriages, and said, we noticed as well the lower attendance at Mass. And so why would we have, you know, one very small parish that a priest has to drive to maybe have Mass for 20 people, not that they're not important, but 6 miles away or, you know, a little further, there's a parish that they could join and we could combine. So it's been a long and difficult process, leaving behind a church. As I said, we don't want to close. A church is always a holy place.
We're approaching a break. Excuse me for interrupting. We'll just take a little break here, Bishop Nicholas. Hope you'll remain with us. So thank you.
Absolutely. I'm not going anywhere.
We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Making It Personal with Bishop Johnson on Iowa Catholic Radio and the Spirit Catholic Radio Network.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Making It Personal is provided by the Sarah Vocations Ministry, including the St. Sarah Club of Des Moines and the Sarah Club of Council Bluffs. Sarah is an apostolate of the Worldwide Catholic Church dedicated to fostering and supporting priesthood and religious vocations. Sarahs strive to accomplish their mission through prayer, fellowship, and service to the bishop, priests, sisters, and all in religious formation, and in doing so to increase their own holiness. Learn more at joinsarah.org, joinserra.org. Thank you, Sarahs, for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and the Uncommon Good provided by Mercy College of Health Sciences, where you can chart your course for more.
This is Bo Bonner.
And I'm Dr. Bud Marr from the Uncommon Good.
Mercy College provides unparalleled clinical rotations, hands-on learning, accelerated education, and flexible schedules. Since 1899, Mercy College has been transforming students into healthcare professionals. Guided by Catholic values, our faculty put classroom theory into practice. Students are prepared for roles in service and leadership throughout their own careers.
Learn more at mchs.edu.
Welcome back. You're listening to Making It Personal with Bishop Johnson. We return with Bishop Walker Nicholas, Bishop of the Diocese of Sioux City.
Thank you, Bishop Nicholas. And we'll be praying for you again and your people as this sense of a communion that's larger and that solidarity that transcends, you know, even the kind of local church, but that the church is the people. And so we pray that this continues to be a prophetic way of responding to the demographics and other challenges there. We think about the larger church. We're not just a diocesan, but we're in the province of Iowa, the four dioceses that are there, and you have a certain seniority in a marvelous way, and I've always appreciated your graceful way of kind of engaging, and we've Zoomed with each other in other ways. Can you just talk about maybe some of your responsibilities that as you interact with us, and maybe the cross of that or the blessing, but and how the pandemic was a feature of that?
Thank you. You know, I'm the longest-serving bishop now in Iowa, compared to the three youngsters that I have around me in Davenport and Des Moines. Always in every province, every section of our country, there's an archbishop, and our archbishop is obviously in Dubuque, and he's called the Metropolitan. And then there are roles when the the archbishop can't do certain things for the four dioceses or the different dioceses in his province. And so the senior suffragan, that's what I'm called. It sounds much more important than it is, but it means I'm the oldest secondary bishop in the province. And so when things involve, like for instance, every diocese is asked to send their financial reports every year to the metropolitan, to the archbishop. Well, who does the archbishop send it to? He sends it to me because I'm the senior suffragan. And so things like that, when the archbishop is got to do things that involve his diocese, then he calls upon others to kind of help out. And I'm what they call the second one. And so it's in the Iowa Catholic Conference. It's no particular reason, but I am the chosen by my brother bishop as the president.
If called, you serve.
I think today, you know, bishops don't like meetings like nobody else does either. So they kind of just said, well, you're the longest here, so you might as well do this because you know more than the rest of us. So, but I'm happy to lead the Iowa Catholic Conference, help Tom Chapman and Des Moines and all of us bishops is speaking together on the various important issues that we have to speak out on, and make sure that the legislature doesn't forget values and people and the value of human life above all.
Okay. One serious and one lighthearted question in the last 2 minutes that we have, Bishop Nicholas. Obviously, the Iowa Attorney General's report came out a couple weeks ago, four dioceses dealing with clergy sexual abuse. As one who, in your priesthood, had a responsibility of engaging victims and everything else, do you find any helpful or healing aspects to this inquiry or aspects that you take exception to?
Well, you know, I think what did come out of the Iowa Attorney General's investigation was, I think they might have been a little surprised at how well each of our dioceses are dealing with sexual abuse now. We all have plans in place. We all encourage alleged victims to immediately allow notify the local police and law enforcement. We reach out to victims all the time, and we take care of priests that have misbehaved. And as you know, many of the accusations came long before us, and 30 years old and older. But our church always has to be vigilant, and especially the importance of the victims. And no matter how long it's been, if you've been abused, it takes a lot of time and effort, counseling and prayer to help people come back to some sort of healing. So all of us, I'm very proud of the bishops in Iowa, are doing our best to make sure that victims come first.
Amen. And I appreciate, you know, the collective wisdom as we talk about and respond to these instances. We only have a few seconds left, about 10 seconds. Any holiday plans here that you're going to relax a little bit this weekend?
Yeah, I'll relax. If I was home, I'd be celebrating my brother's birthday, my youngest brother. He was born on the 4th of July, and we call him Sparky, even though his name is Mark.
We're going to have to conclude, but thank you.
I'll probably FaceTime with him, but other than that, it'll be just wonderful to be here.
Thank you, Bishop.
God bless you all. Thanks for this opportunity.
Thank you. This has been another edition of Making It Personal with Bishop Johnson.
You can hear Making It Personal with Bishop William Johnson every week on Iowa Catholic Radio and iowacatholicradio.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Making It Personal is provided by Serra Vocations Ministry. Learn more at joinserra.org.